Good morning, everyone. On this Mothering Sunday, March 22nd, let us begin this morning with an opening prayer for Mothering Sunday, which comes from the Children's Society in England. Let us pray. As we come to worship you, loving God, we remember with thankful hearts our families, and the care of our mothers. We thank you today for all those who care for us, and remember those who are now with you, who have cared for us in the past. Lord Jesus, who knew the love and care of parents, help us to love and care for others. Amen. And now, friends, hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Glory to you, O Lord. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, in the United States, where I come from, we have Mother's Day, which always falls on the second Sunday in May. And some churches may incorporate the theme of Mother's Day into a church service, but others may choose to keep Mother's Day completely separate from worship. The Anglican Church is rather unique in that Mothering Sunday is a designated Sunday in the liturgical calendar. As all of you know out there, my education in Anglicanism is an ongoing process. And I learned something new this week. I learned that Mothering Sunday was never meant to be solely about mothers. Its original meaning was more about mothering. The day itself grew out of the medieval tradition of visiting the mother church and taking an offering for presentation to the altar there. It was also placed on the fourth Sunday in Lent in order to give something of a break from the penitential season of Lent. So, in the Anglican Church, we give thanks perhaps for our mother church, or here in Norway, we give thanks for the Anglican chaplaincy in Norway as a whole, and also for our own mothers. And we also give thanks for mothering itself. You know, this is my fourth Mothering Sunday. And so far, three things seem to be very clear to me about Mothering Sunday. And those are, it's always on the fourth Sunday of Lent. It's about mothering. And it's also a day of mixed emotions. You know, it seems to me that it's a Sunday that always runs the risk of being overly sentimental. And I think that we have to acknowledge this right up front because it's a day on which some people find to be very difficult. For some women, and men too, this day is a silent reminder of personal griefs and sorrows. It's a day when silent tears will be shed for many children who have died, for children who have rejected their parents and are now estranged from them, for relationships with mothers that never happened, and tears for the children that never were. While all of this needs to be acknowledged and cared for, I have found over the past 4 years that this day still remains an important Sunday in the life of the church, and there may be a way to help dry some of those tears that will fall on this day by reflecting upon mothering in the broadest sense of the term. After all, I think that that's what Jesus did as well. You know, when I was in fifth grade, me and my classmates were given a piece of paper by our teacher, and she asked each of us to draw a picture of our family and then to do a kind of show and tell to our classmates. And I looked at my blank piece of paper, and I started to visualize my family. I had my mother and my father and my two brothers. And I had my grandmother, my mother's mother, who lived in town. But all of my other grandparents had died before I was born. And we lived far away from uncles and cousins who we had little contact with. And I was glad that day to draw my immediate family. But as I listened to my friends as they talked about not only grandparents, but great-grandparents and cousins and uncles and aunts that they saw on a daily basis, and I remember beginning to feel a little bit sad that my family wasn't bigger. But then I started to think about my godfather, Dwin. He was a dear friend of my father's from seminary who baptized me, and also his son Tom, who just lived one town over, who was like a cousin to me. I started to think about Juanita, an elderly woman in the church I grew up in, who lived down the street and was like a grandmother to me, always inviting me and my two brothers over for meals. You know, she thought I was the greatest thing that had ever come along and was sure to remind me of it every time she saw me. I started to think about Bill Cutshaw, another member of the church, who just always looked out for me and encouraged me in the faith. He presented me with a Bible when I was confirmed at the age of 13 and was there 13 years later to shake my hand on the day that I was ordained at 26. I thought of all of them too because, well, they were my family as well. In our gospel reading today, Jesus challenges his disciples' assumptions about what a family is. The disciples assume that they know who Jesus' family is, his mother and his brothers. But Jesus speaks about family being a much bigger idea of what and who his family is. You know, Jesus' family includes everyone who follows him and does God's will. Therefore, Jesus has a much broader definition of what family is. All of us, all of the people who follow Jesus throughout the world and throughout history are a part of his family. And as we all know, family life isn't perfect, not by any stretch of the imagination, perhaps. It's something that we need not over-sentimentalize either today. After all, we disagree and we argue and we fall out. We upset each other. But there's always something that holds us all together. And that something is love. The gospel writer John reminds us frequently in his gospel that God is love. And love is the most powerful and nurturing force in the world that should never be underestimated. You know, I think perhaps one of the best parts of Mothering Sunday is the reminder that it brings to us of those who have nurtured us with their love, and the nurturing love that is there for us. You know, it's there when we reach out to those who are anxious and alone, especially during the times that we are in at this very moment. It's there when we offer grace and mercy to our parents and our children when we fall out and upset each other. It's there when we include others who are on the fringe of society and the church. It's there whenever we seek compromise rather than pushing our own way to get our way. It's there whenever people treat each other as precious and unique individuals made in the image of God. You know, today is a day that we celebrate the love that has nurtured us, the love of the people who have guided and cared for us. And for some of us, that'll be our mothers, and we celebrate them on this day. But for others, it may not be. And we celebrate instead, or in addition, the other relationships which have shown us something of the vast love of God. You know, whoever you can think of who has nurtured you, whether they're related to you or not, friends, I invite you to take this day as an opportunity to remember them, to thank them on this day. Maybe draw a picture of them, like I did way back when, and then share with someone the love and nurture that you received from them. I plan to do that with my two young boys later today. And by doing so, we proclaim with Jesus, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.